It was interesting. I one time put up a TikTok of one of the jokes of the one of the herpes jokes, and I had these people replying of like, obviously it's a scam, but it's like these like, have you tried Dr. blah blah
Oh
blah's
my
cures
God.
and da da da. And
All the time.
I was like, well, wait, hold on. Like, obviously it would be great if there was just like a cure for this, but like that's not really the point here. Like the point is like I've kind of accepted that there isn't. It doesn't really impact my life that much anymore. And like you're missing the point. Like you're just missing the point. I'm not looking for a cure here. I'm just looking for us to like laugh at it.
Yeah, also
Like,
just accept it's not a huge deal.
yeah, that thing of, I mean, look, it's so cliche to be like, laughter is the best medicine, but for herpes it is because there's no cure. There's no
It helps, like, I mean, it helped me kind of get over it and
Yeah.
accept it. Was just being like, one, you're like, oh, this other person has it and they're fine.
Yeah.
But two, it's like, yeah, we all like to laugh at things that are like, quote, dark things in our life.
Yeah, it was so exciting to watch you start telling
Oh,
jokes
thank
about
you.
it and like
Yeah.
talking about it. It felt I was worried I was gonna feel like, well, hold on, like that's my thing. But I think the whole point is like it's super common
Yeah.
and it is nice to have like this little community of like herp girls, you
Yeah.
know?
Herpes comics in general.
Herpes comics,
Yeah.
yeah.
'Cause What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your host, Erica Spira, and today I've got a great guest for you guys this week. But first, as always, if you're listening to us and you want to watch us, it's a little more fun. Come check out our YouTube. I got the link in the comments. Just search us, Shooters Gotta Shoot Podcast on YouTube. And I'm also going to be uploading some stand-up clips over there too. So head on over, subscribe, help your girl out, because that's free and easy for you to help me out with. And if you have a little cash, you can join our Patreon, which is patreon.com/Shooters Gotta Shoot. Now, for a while, I wasn't doing extra episodes because, you know, I picked up that other pod. Shit was crazy. But now that I got laid off, I have time. I have time. So I will be doing extra episodes on that pod. And I'm going to be doing more comedy talk behind the scenes because I'm talking a lot of dating stuff out here. But, you know, I'll have a little bit of that juice. So if you want to check it out, it's patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. Or you can just do it to support the show because I appreciate it. And I like hanging out with Fonzie and I don't want to leave the studio. Okay? So I got laid off. Please join. All right. So without further ado, hit it, Fonzie.
Yeah.
Ooh, I've got a fun guest today for you guys. And you've heard me mention her on the show several times. All right. You might have seen her at JFL recently on Jimmy Kimmel, or also recently got a beer thrown at her on stage. She is one of my best herpes friends. Gotta throw that out there. Put your hands together for the very funny Ariel Elias.
Hey. You talk about me?
I do.
That's so nice.
I have referenced you a few times.
Wow.
You know, I got herpes. The people know. The people know of the show. And you were literally, I think, the second person I ever told.
Who was the first?
My good buddy Iris from college.
Okay.
Because I was texting the night of being like, I have a bump. Something's up. And she is the epitome of the friend that would like get her lip waxed and then hit me up being like, I think I have a bump coming. I think I have herpes. And I'd be like, can you chill the fuck out, dude? Like, she's a hypochondriac and I'm not. And the one time I was like, yo, something's off. She's like, it's not herpes. You're all right. Just go get it checked. And then immediately the doctor was like, yeah, no, that's it. That's it. All right. Well, here's
that's
a prescription.
A textbook case if I've ever seen one.
Yeah. Literally a glance of 2 seconds. And I was like, excuse me?
Did Check I tell again. You when... When I got my first little outbreak, I was
no, but I would love to share it
okay.
with the show.
Hi, nice to meet everybody. I was convinced that because I was living in New Orleans and I was riding my bike a lot, and New Orleans has a ton of potholes, and I was just like, it's probably from that. I probably just injured myself bike riding through a pothole, and it's like, no. The levels of denial that we'll like put ourselves through rather than just being like, just go to the doctor and like find out.
Yeah.
I was just like, it's probably that, or like it's a sebaceous cyst. It's anything but herpes. And then of course it's like, no, it's fully herpes.
Yeah, hilarious. Of mine was summer, hot. And I always wear like, I don't have the money for Spanx, everybody. So I would wear like my basketball like spandex shorts under dresses, because first of all, the wind in the city, it's real. And second, just no chafing, right?
Yeah.
But it was those like hot, hot days you're like sweating. And so I was telling myself before going, I was like, it's probably sweat bumps.
Yeah.
Which I had never had before.
I don't know that that's a thing.
But I just was like, well, you just shaved a week ago because you were going to get laid. So, you know, like it's probably just the mix of the shave and the sweat, and it's the summer's fault. It's not. It's not HSV.
It's not the fact that I recently had unprotected sex with somebody who wasn't tested. Yeah, definitely not that.
No, definitely not. Not my first partner in a year. What? The only thing that changed was the heat, obviously. You were, when you first moved to New York, I really remember you. I literally met you at an open mic, and I believe you did herpes jokes.
Yeah.
And I was just like, damn, this girl's got balls. But also,
and herpes.
Very funny. No, but it stuck with me, and then like it weirdly made me very comfortable when I got it. I was like, well, I can go talk to this person.
Yeah.
And I also just trusted you wouldn't go tell everybody.
No, of course not. It's one of those, I mean, I think it's just, it's your thing to tell.
Yeah. And I literally remember when I told you, you just were like, well, welcome to the club.
Yes.
I was like, all right.
Honored to have you here.
Yeah. And and another thing that really stuck with me was like, I felt like any time, I've talked to you a few times about it and like dealing with the person that gave it to me and like all these other things going on. And I'll never forget like one time I was talking to you and you just were like, oh, I just like, I forgot how new you are to this. You're like, you're so new to having it. And you were just like, man, like I used to have all these thoughts and feel this way. And like, it just, it's going to take time, but you'll get comfortable.
Yeah.
And that was so not what I wanted to hear.
Sorry.
It's not what I wanted to hear, but it was the truth.
It was interesting. I one time put up a TikTok of one of the jokes, of the one of the herpes jokes. And I had these people replying of like, obviously it's a scam, but it's like, these like, have you tried Dr. blah, blah, blah,
cures
and da, 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 da. And
all
I was
the
like,
time.
I was like, well, wait, hold on. Like, obviously, it would be great if there was just like a cure for this, but like that's not really the point here. Like the point is like I've kind of accepted that there isn't.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really impact my life that much anymore. And like you're missing the point. Like you're just missing the point. I'm not looking for a cure here. I'm just looking for us to like laugh at it.
Yeah. Also like, just accept it's not a huge deal.
Yeah. That thing of, I mean, look, it's so cliche to be like, laughter is the best medicine. But for herpes, it is because there's no cure. There's no actual.
Yeah. It helps. Like, I mean, it helped me kind of get over it and accept it. It was just being like, one, you're like, oh, this other person has it and they're fine.
Yeah.
But two, it's like, yeah, we all like to laugh at things that are like, quote, dark things in our life.
Yeah. It was so exciting to watch you start telling jokes about it and like talking about it. I was worried I was gonna feel like, well, hold on, like that's my thing. But I think the whole point is like it's super common.
Yeah.
And it is nice to have like this little community of like herp girls.
Yeah,
you know?
Herpes comics in general.
Herpes comics.
Yeah, because like I did have someone on the show, not a comic. Ella Dawson actually came on, which was great. But like, yeah, literally just comedians alone. I think maybe you're the fifth or fourth person to just be on my show and talk about having it. And then it's like Drew Michael's another person that has it, and people message me his jokes all the time, being like, "Have you seen this guy?" I'm like, "I know Drew. I've worked with Drew. Nice dude." But yeah, it's like, it was kind of terrifying, obviously, to first make jokes, because you're like, the minute you just say the word herpes, especially not as a punchline, but, hey, I have it, it like sucks the wind out of the room.
People tighten up so fast.
Yeah.
It became, for a while, I wouldn't do the herpes jokes in shorter sets. I would only do them in longer sets, because I was like, well, you guys haven't gotten to know me. And it's sort of become a thing where I feel like an audience has to earn that.
Mm-hmm.
And they like, I have to feel like I can trust them just as much as they have to feel like they can trust me.
Yeah, I get that. Uh-huh. It's also just comfortability.
Yeah. And like do I have the time to like make you guys like to ease you into this a little bit, or fully abruptly say it, but also know that I can recover, not even recover, but just like make everybody, you have to make everybody feel safe.
Yeah.
When you talk about something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fascinating people's reactions. The amount of like messages I've gotten from people who are like, me too, where you're just like, yeah, we all have it, guys.
Well, I've gotten messages from people being like, because how I brought it up was, it kind of is a punchline in a way to another bit.
Mm.
And so that's how I first say the word herpes. And I've gotten a lot of messages from people. They were like, when I first heard you say the word herpes, I was like, oh, great. Another joke that's just putting herpes at the butt end of the joke. And then they go, oh, and then you were like, actually, I have it, and did material about it. And they were like, oh, and then I was like relieved. And also, you know, thank you. That was cool. I was like, yeah, you know, it's comedy. It's, you got to figure out a way to kind of ease some stuff in.
Yeah.
Because especially if it's not an obvious, well, yeah, the point of it is it's not an obvious. You look at me and you go, oh, well, she has herpes. Like, if anything, people are just like, what? And I remember you telling me, you like, I don't know if this is a move you did often or you did it one time, of you were started like dating someone, and to tell them you had herpes, you just brought them to a show.
Oh, Erica, I did that often.
Oh.
I did that a lot.
Yeah.
Because what's crazy, and I think this is pretty common with a lot of comedians, I'm very comfortable telling a room full of people something very intimate. Mm-hmm. I am very uncomfortable telling one person something intimate.
No, I get that.
And I didn't really know how to have an actual conversation about herpes. I only knew how to write jokes about it.
Hmm.
So okay. I knew how to like be really mean to myself for a while.
Yeah.
But so the only way I had figured out how to tell people was through stand-up, was mm-hmm. through these jokes. So, but I also wanted to be honest. I didn't want to do what had been done to me of like hiding something.
Yeah.
So I would just, yeah, I would just like bring guys to shows. All this, if we were like, if we hadn't slept together, I was just like, yeah, here's where I'll be. Okay. Or I would like be at the bar sometimes, because I started in New Orleans and there are no comedy clubs. It's all at bars. So all stand-up shows are at bars. So I would like be at the bar before the show,
yeah,
and like flirting with some guy. And I would be like, oh, I'm going to like go do this show. Do you want to come in and watch? And sometimes that did not work out for me. Like sometimes they would be like, cool, bye. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And sometimes they were like, hey, that was really cool. And sometimes, like, a lot of times we wouldn't even, like, broach what I had said, but they knew, they were informed, we didn't have to talk about it, and that was that.
Well, I was going to say, didn't you have one time someone, like, thought you were kidding?
Yes.
And you were like, I had to add a line in my joke.
Yeah, I now have a line where just to be, like, I talk about herpes for, like, truly 5 minutes, and then I go, just to be very clear, I really do have herpes. Because one time it was that exact scenario, I think it was maybe Halloween, I was like, flirting with this guy. He was dressed as Jesus.
Oh, great.
I know.
Great. Perfect for a Jew.
He was so hot. Jesus was Jewish. Jesus is hot. My mom
praise
would approve.
Him.
And then he and a couple of his friends came in and watched the show. I did all the herpes material. And then we like went out. He didn't say anything. We went out for the rest of the night. We all got drunk. We like hooked up. And then the next morning he was like, you don't really have herpes though, right? And I was like, yeah, dude. Like,
yeah, I had 5 minutes.
What an
on
insane
it.
Thing to have made up.
Yeah.
And then, like, just talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt bad for that guy a little bit. I think he was just blackout. Like, I
maybe
think that was the issue.
Or, like we said, you want to lie to yourself.
Yes.
You're like, no, we don't. No right. one has it. No, it's, you see all the stats, you're like, nah, but that's nobody I know or no one. Not me. Funny of I've gotten DMs before, same thing, or men after shows will be like, oh, so do you actually have herpes? And I'm like, yeah, it's not like, do you think it's like a super fun thing for me to say where I just sat there being like, yo, how hilarious
right.
would it be? I tell this room of 200 people that I have herpes. It's like, what do you think I say that to get laid?
Yeah.
Like, why would I choose that? You know, not
that
it's a big deal and it's okay to have it, but it's such a weird like, yeah, I just was like, what's something I could talk about that makes me unique? That's not true.
And nobody ever asks, like, okay, but you're not really, like, Italian, are you? Like, it's so,
yeah.
It's the only thing they ever think.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, people just don't want to believe it. And it's like, hey, bud, it's super common. And it's like, just, like, fuck me and get over it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, get over yourself. You're not.
Just get it.
Just get it.
Just get it.
You should just get it.
I know. Well, that's what's interesting about the whole cure thing, because obviously, like, talking about it. And then the show, I have so many people message me. There's, like, some guy named Fred Hutch that's, like, quote, so close to getting a vaccine approved. And people have sent me stuff being like, would you promote this? Or like, oh, isn't this so cool? And blah, blah. And I'm like you, where I was like, I don't think there needs to be a cure. I was like, and also, like, I don't know if anybody's, you know, seen the news on vaccines, but not everyone's a fan. They kind of, vaccines don't have the fandom they used to. So even if this is approved, it's like, good luck getting anyone to take vaccines.
Do
right
you
now.
Think people would take a herpes vaccine more willingly than a COVID vaccine, though? Just because, like,
I mean, I feel like the people...
People love to fuck, you know what I mean?
I know, but it's like the people that specifically are like, I'm not taking that COVID thing, and if their excuse is any length, anything along the lines of it being so new...
Okay.
I'm like, well, that you're not. They're not going to be first round herpes shots. Okay. And I still think there's so many people that are just ignorant where they're like, well, I don't fuck people that have herpes. It's like, well, you have. You already have.
You
definitely have. Same thing of I'm like, it's not. I look at all the other problems in the world, especially just in the health field alone, and I'm like, there are so many things that really need a cure more than this.
Yes.
Because now having it, I'm like I say in my bed, I'm like, it's truly not a big deal. It doesn't affect your health negatively. It affects your mental health negatively.
Sure.
But I'm like, you know, yeah, I'd put more towards points towards like breast cancer and like cervical cancer, like things that actually can kill you and, you know.
I've actually found it's because, so you say in your joke that you just had the one outbreak when you first got it and
basically,
then you don't anymore. Is that?
I think I had two.
Okay.
But they were very close together.
Okay.
It almost felt like, I mean, to be blunt, it's like it almost felt like the front half had the outbreak and then the back half suddenly
okay,
got the rest of it.
I do always get like one lip at a time.
Oh, okay.
So I like still get outbreaks. I also have like a pretty weak immune system.
Well, do you not take daily or you do?
I don't right now.
See, that also, but I get it.
Because it's just like it happens so rarely, but the times where it does happen where I do get an outbreak are when I am incredibly stressed and not taking care of myself, and it's like my body just like kind of like starts to shut down, and that's usually the first thing that happens is I get a little outbreak, and that has become to me my little bat signal to be like, oh, I have to sleep more and drink more water, I'm getting sick, like one of, but it's this in a way it's like Sarah Armour had a joke for a little bit about how it's like your own little Jewish mother like living inside you that's just like, you're not taking care of yourself well enough.
Yeah, no, very true. And that's why I'm not on it daily either. I only start taking it if I start seeing someone.
Yeah.
But even then, when I am, I'll take it at the beginning and it's partly more of a comfort for them. And then I hit the point where I'm kind of like, hey, I usually don't take this at all. There's no problem. And it's obviously a conversation. I'm never going to do that to someone blindly where I'm like, well, it's, you know, it'd be like removing the goalie birth control wise. And you're like, well, why would we have to tell them, you know? But yeah, that's why I always encourage people to be off the meds for a while, as scary as it can be. But I think it helps if you'll realize, do I even have them frequently and what triggers them?
Yeah.
And so many people have been like lack of sleep and stressed out. And they never made the point of like, oh, actually, it's just like, oh, I need to take care of myself.
Yeah.
But I think it's just more important of like, yeah, you figure out what your own trigger to it is. And then also you'll realize if you have any signs that one is coming that aren't a bump.
Yeah.
And then that really actually is going to help you the most with like not transmitting it. It's basically like, oh, do you have any signs like if you're possibly shedding? Which again, so rare to have those days, but still possible.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I say that in the joke because like one, I just like making it known that it's like, it's just not a big deal. And for most people, it's not frequent or they just do a daily Valtrex.
Right.
So they never have to deal with, you know, I knew someone that would get it like every period they'd get bumps.
Oh, interesting.
And they just were like, you know, it just sucks to every month have to deal with it.
Yeah,
so totally. They'd start taking it the days before their period came. And they were like, yeah, you know, I just hate that I can't like go to spin class. Like, you know, like it was such a like, you know, I just want to be able to like keep my workout routine.
Yeah,
and I was
it
like,
it does change that.
Yeah, valid. So, but like, you know, Joe List was on and he for a long time didn't have health insurance. So he was like, I would only go and get the Valtrex or something if I had an outbreak situation. And he said one time he just like didn't have the money to do it. And he was like, but the longer you have it, the more you bounce back quicker, the less worse it is. So he was like, yeah, I had 2 days. I just like didn't really do anything. And then like, we're good.
I remember dropping off some Valtrex pills for somebody.
Interesting.
Who didn't have health insurance. And I was like, well, I don't have to take these every day. And she felt that she was going to have an outbreak. And asked if she could have some of my pills. And I was like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, right? This was so nice. When I joined the support group, there were like periods of people, same thing, where they were like, oh, I don't have insurance, this and that. And so many people were like, dude, I got mad extra. Mm-hmm. I'll throw you some. You need some. Like we all bring in, we all showed up to group with a pill. Like, we got your week's supply between the seven of us. That's true, like recipe swapping or some shit. And whatnot, but
like I'll trade you 7 Valtrex for 1 ecstasy.
Yeah, you're like, got new weed? We can make a trade. I was gonna say, have you ever slept with somebody and not told them?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, same here. I've admitted it on the show.
Yeah, I felt bad about it for a while, and then I ran into him a couple years later, and he didn't remember me, and I don't feel bad about it anymore. He was the first person I slept with after my ex and I broke up. Mm. So I just didn't know how to talk about it yet. And he was so hot, Erica.
He
was like stupid hot.
Can I ask this? Was the sex good?
I don't really remember. I think it was like decent. I think it was okay.
There was only like, I think, three people I ever did not tell. And all of them were so bad in bed that I was like, this is God. God is fucking with you. And if you don't tell people, Erica, he's going to make sure you don't have good sex. Like, he's up there laughing at you like, yeah, go around. Be a bad person. Yeah, don't share this information with people. Let's see how it works out. And I'd be like, all right. I'll just always tell them because I'm getting trash in the bedroom if I don't.
Are you Catholic?
I was raised Catholic, yeah. Yeah. I had that Catholic guilt come in heavy. That was like, there is a God and he's having fun with you right now.
He's so mad at you.
He's so mad. This is what happens or whatnot. But but it was same thing of like, I remember I was always telling people and then I just hit a wall of
it's
like.
It's exhausting to always be honest.
Yeah. And this is a terrible excuse and I don't advise people to do this, but I was in Europe. And I said to myself,
well,
these Europeans don't care. So I don't have to. They're more educated. They're more sexual. Yeah. They fuck all the time.
Literally when in Rome.
They don't care. Yeah. And I had a hot tour guide that was flirting with me the whole tour of the windmills in Amsterdam. And I was like, you know what? Let's just have a win. And then it was really bad. But very hot, though. Again, not advising that you don't tell people.
No. It's not. Just, it's not great. It's unfair to the other person, but it does happen sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. It's just, you're human.
We're human.
Because I've gotten those messages where they're like, I slapped this person. I didn't tell them, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, I've done the same thing.
Yeah.
Everyone has. There's people I know that just full denial that they even have it.
Yeah.
Or like one person was like, no, I just had it the one time and it went away, so I don't have it anymore. And I was like, that is not how herpes
works.
You technically always have it.
Yes, you do always have it.
How do you feel about this? I get messages from people sometimes of like, they realize when I say like herpes is cold sores. They're like, wait, I get cold sores. They're like, do I need to disclose to my partner? Like, I haven't been with people because I just, if I have a cold sore, I just don't kiss them or do anything. What would you say on that?
I don't know.
Because it's a weird line.
Cold sores are, I do think cold sores are different because they're so visible and obvious. And also, I've never had cold sores. I fully only get them on my pussy. So I don't really know, like, what your obligation is to be like, just so you know, I get cold sores. Like, that... I don't know. That feels, what do you think? It just feels so common.
Well, it's a weird thing that they're like, do I need to disclose that before I kiss someone, period? Like, not having an outbreak.
I don't think so.
And it's something that it's like, I call it like, people with herpes often have cold sore envy. Because it's like, well, I wish like, that's how I got to treat my herpes because I have type 1.
Right.
Which, you know, some people call oral herpes, but I'm like, I think that's incorrect.
I have type 2.
Because you can get both in either place. So it's like, the whole oral versus genital, it's like, I think the numbers have come out recently. It's like, oh, HSV-1 now is incredibly more common on your vagina than on your lips. But it's something that I'm kind of like, I feel like, yeah, just tell them. But also because I'm like, no one cares about cold sores on your mouth. That's why I'm like, you don't have to make it a big thing. I'm like, tell them the same way I tell them. You're just like, hey, I get this thing sometimes. So I'll let you know if like, we just can't be physical. And that's kind of it. Like, you don't have to bombard them.
I guess so.
With info.
I guess I just, like, I was always also so much more casual about making out than I ever was about sex.
Right.
So I feel like half the time I didn't even disclose my name, like, let alone.
That's New Orleans, baby. New Orleans living, coming in hot. I was going to say, are there any significant, like, disclosure stories you really, really remember?
I remember the first time I told somebody who I was sleeping with. And it was like, I remember I was like trembling. I was so nervous. Mm. And he didn't handle it great. I mean, also, like, who could blame him? I was so nervous. Like, I was building it up so much and making it such a big thing. I was 22. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, I mean, I was like a kid. But I remember, and I tried to write a joke about it for a little bit, but so we ended up having sex and then he ghosted me.
Oh, so he was okay with it.
He was a recovering heroin addict. Mm. And I remember the joke that I tried to make was like, wait, so like if like he would have been more likely to like stay with me if I had heroin than if I had herpes.
I mean, yeah, probably.
But that was real. And I think after that experience, I was like, oh, I have to learn how to tell people this. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to. I also, because that was the first person I had ever told, I was like, oh, I'm like a pariah. Nobody will ever want to be with me.
That's how it feels. Yeah.
Because this one guy didn't want to be with me.
I mean, I had several people my first year having it reject me that it made me go back to the herpes dude that I should never have. But it was like, I just want to have sex and not worry about it because he also has it.
Yeah.
And just like feel, quote, normal again.
Yeah.
So it's like, listen, it's just how you feel and you get it and you get rejected for it. And it is kind of a weird game of like, until you get a win in that department, you do just feel like, is anyone going to be with me? Do I have to only date people with herpes? Do I got to join the positive single site?
I thought I was going to have to do that.
Ugh. Hate so much. Yeah, they've reached out to me being like, could you sponsor us? And I'm like, no, I'm not. I mean, not sponsors. She's like, pay me to promote them. And I'm like, I don't, because it's like, do that site if you want or don't. And I've heard both positive things and both negative things from the site. I'm like, it's like every other dating website.
Right.
So I'm like, take with that what you want. But I've met people that were so terrified to date anyone that didn't have herpes and they would only date through that website. And that like crushed me because I was like, no, you don't have to only date someone else that like carries Valtrex with them. It's like, if you're a diabetic and you were like, well, I can only date other diabetics because, you know, they understand the insulin. Yeah, it's like, what? That's not, you don't need that.
No, it's hard. It's like, we all just kind of want to make things a little bit easier on ourselves and dating's hard enough. And so I understand it. And if that's what you want, go for it. But I mean, my now husband, when we met, I was like super open about it because I had also just moved here. And at that point, I had kind of figured out how to talk about it. But he was like terrified of herpes and of dating me. And those are not necessarily related.
Yeah.
But like,
there's other reasons to be afraid.
But he talked to his doctor about it where he was like, I met this girl and she has herpes. And the doctor was like, well, I mean, also his doctor is like, you know, he's like a Greek dude in Astoria named Socrates. And he was just like, well, bro, like he like talks to everybody like that.
He was like, well, bro,
she was already honest about it. Like, you should just like stick with her. He was just like, your chances of getting it from somebody who already knows that they have it and is aware, your chances of getting it from her are less than you just dating randomly.
Yeah.
And hooking up with whoever.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to Socrates.
Shout out to Socrates.
Thank you for my husband.
Really, I know, really coming through. Well, I was going to say, I feel like since I've known you, you seem to have always been in relationships and specifically with people that didn't have it. So I looked at you like, well, Ariel always like seems to have success.
Well, I mean, since you've known me, I've only been in with my husband.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it's just the past relationships you've
I met him like a week in.
Oh, really?
To moving to New York. Yeah.
But I feel like you've had I don't mean this negatively. I feel like you've had so many boyfriends of past stories that I was like, oh, she always gets it locked down.
I guess
like,
so. Yeah. I mean, it's been a while, but like, I really did have game. Like I was pretty good at closing the deal, or opening the deal, I guess. For women, it's always easy to kind of close the deal.
even with herpes.
Really doesn't take that much work. Well, that was the other thing that I learned. And this is maybe like the benefit of being a woman as opposed to a man with herpes is that like men are pretty gross generally. And so their threshold a lot of times for like what's a deal breaker for women is like, I feel like half the time you could be like, just so you know, I have murdered three people. And they'd be like, all right, I don't see what that has to do with tonight.
Yeah. She's a 10, but she's murdered three people. They're like still a 10. Still a 10. Still a 10, baby.
Technically, you're a serial killer, but like you also like have a job and like I'm just looking for somebody who's not a gold digger. That's really all I need. So.
Truly, though. I know. It's usually not that bad. Crap. There was one more other herpes question I had, but now I'm blanking.
Can I ask you, do you remember the first time you said it on stage?
Oh, that's a good question. It actually was at, I didn't start doing herpes jokes till the pandemic hit.
Because
I think that really put me in like a fuck it mode of just like, what matters? Does stand up even exist? Who knows? So like, I think the first time I did the jokes, I was like in a park outside, which is already the weirdest environment to do comedy, where you're like, I barely can tell if this is even going well.
What a dark time.
But
dude.
Just God. What a weird. Yeah, that's it was so definitely funny. Outdoor shows.
Yeah.
Because I remember I did a couple with Taylor Tomlinson. She did like Punchline Philly and they were all outside. One, we were under a highway. It was just like, but I honestly think it weirdly made me more comfortable because all your material, you were like, I really can't feel this laughter. And if this really hits or not, that it made me not care. And so it was like, well, I'll do these herpes jokes. And if they don't land, I'm not even going to really know. And I just was like, fuck it. And you're always like, the world's ending. I have like one spot a week right now.
Yeah.
It's like, what am I? I didn't want to go up there and just do jokes I knew worked. That I was like, well, this is my one opportunity of the week to try some new material. And I also think I weirdly felt like everyone right now just feels like, well, who cares? As long as I don't have COVID and I'm not dead. Cool. So it was almost like, I used to open the joke, and part of it I would say, like, oh, I almost feel like COVID did me a solid. I was like, no one's afraid of herpes anymore. And people would laugh at that, being like, oh, actually, yeah. Like, right now, if you're like, herpes or COVID, before the vaccine, everyone's like, herpes, I'll live, you know?
Right.
And, or I don't have health insurance, I'll be better with the herpes than a giant hospital bill from COVID. So I was like, yeah, that was the first time I started doing it. And also it helps, like, when I did the shows with Taylor, her fans are so open, especially she did jokes about being bipolar.
Yeah.
So, like, her crowd is very, very into therapy. Very
talk about your condition.
Literally down for any of that. That I was like, oh, that gave me a huge advantage, just having a crowd that is more kind of Gen Z and very aware. Uh-huh. And so many people message her about also being bipolar and stuff like that. So I was like, oh, that helped me feel comfortable. I was like, all right, well, this crowd's not going to care about herpes, or they seem to be educated enough that they at least won't get weird. They were very like, yeah, tell us. Tell us your darkest fears. Yeah. You know, we're here for it. Let's, you know. That was the first time I really talked about it. I know. But it's, for me, actually, I felt like I had more of a fear telling the jokes because of the comedy community, not the audience. Because it's like, you know, the comedy world is like high school.
Incredibly judgmental and clicky.
Yeah, and it's everybody's fucking everybody. So that was also a thing of like, there was like a comedian I hooked up with forever ago that was one of the people I didn't tell. And before this podcast came out, I went and I told him because I was like, hey, I feel really bad that I didn't. And I literally was like, I'm releasing the show and I don't want you to see that and be like, Erica didn't tell me, whatever. But I said to him and I was like, I hope that's, it was like, obviously I was wrong. And he was very like, well, if you told me, I would have still like, done it. I'm educated on it. I know so many comedians that already have it. Shout out again to Ariel. I was talking about you in that convo. But I remember like I was really lucky that he was really cool about it. But essentially, like I said the main reason I didn't tell you was because I was terrified of all the other comedians knowing.
Yeah.
I was like, and I go, and that's not fair to you, obviously. And I basically didn't trust you to like keep your mouth shut, which again, not fair. Could have given you that chance. But they were very at least understanding of, they were like, nah, I get it. So, like, I get that it wasn't necessarily me you didn't want to know. It was everybody. Yeah. Right. You hate to be in a room where you're like, oh, everyone knows the secret but me.
Yeah, it's hard to relinquish control over your secrets.
Exactly. And then I had the pod. We had the pod only for, like, 5 months. Yeah, and the world was shut down. But I kind of was like, well, I released the pod about it, so I have publicly said it. Mm-hmm. And then, to my surprise, started doing jokes, and so many people, like, still had no idea. And I was like, I have posted episodes, titles with herpes.
No, like, it's a great reminder of like, nobody's actually really paying that much attention to you.
Exactly. Like, I thought releasing the pod was going to be this like huge announcement. And then like, fast forward, what? I don't know. I just did Corden 3.5 years later. That set was actually one that most comedians found out, or most like people in my hometown. Da, da, da. And I was like, oh, I'm at the point now. I really don't give a shit that you know. I'm like, fuck it.
Isn't tell that everybody. It's like so liberating to just be like, oh, fuck off. Who cares? You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. But that's like what made me more nervous, was like more people like judging like my parents in the hometown. And like, for them, I'm like, yes, I'd hate for you to be at the grocery store and there's people whispering and you feel like you feel terrible, even though, but it's like something I did and it's about me. Where I'm like, yeah, I don't live there. I'm like, they could whisper all they want. But
I do remember when you first like came to my apartment and we were talking about this. One of your big fears was your mom and dad finding out because you're still on their health insurance.
That was a big one. Yeah. I was like, they're going to know.
Mm-hmm, they're going to see these like visits. How did your parents react when they found out?
So I chickened out of, I emailed them That's how I told them. You all right?
Yeah, sorry. I just have to readjust.
No, okay.
Okay.
I emailed them. I chickened out of like, there was a few times I tried to like get both of them while we'd be with the family, but then our family's so fucking huge. It's like someone else would always be around. Or even like my sister would be around or my brother would be around. I'll never forget though, because I went to CityMD when I had that first outbreak, and I remember paying out of my pocket like for it, and I was very like, hey, this health insurance linked to this address, but don't mail anything there. I like gave them my thing, but I was like, let me just pay everything so that there's no bill to mail or whatever. And it was just for like a routine testing, so not my results. And then still something got mailed home, and my mom like opened it, and she was like, hey, she's like, I got this thing for these tests. Is there like a bill? Do you need help paying this? What, you know? But she was like, is everything okay? And I was like, oh yeah. And I just said, I thought something was off, so I went and got tested. And she was just like, okay, good. I'm glad you're being safe. Like, thing. And I was like, woo! Close call. But I'll never forget, I was like, also like, oh, I got mailed her anyway. I didn't have to pay that $300. I was like, she would have paid it? Nah. I was like, $300. Because at that time, oh God, I was like,
yeah, when $300 is like the world to you.
Yeah, I was, oh yeah, I was temping. I was making like $12 an hour. Yeah. Like, that I was like, that was like almost a whole week. Mm-hmm. Of work that I had to pay, and I was like, oh, I was like, do it, Erica. I was gonna say, when you first got it, oh sorry, you asked me, how did they react? So I emailed them, I chickened out a little bit, but I mainly emailed them again because the podcast was coming out, and I made it just like, hey, I'm gonna be like public about this thing, I tried to tell you, da da da, and I just said, I was like, I didn't want this to reflect badly on you, and that's why I never told you, like. And then they both just like reached out being like, hey, we love you, like da da da. And like really, really sweet. And then of course, when the show came out, I had like all my cousins, all my family messaging me being like, hey, I think that's really cool and that's really brave. And yeah,
oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
So nice.
So it was very sweet.
I'm but then, so glad you got that reaction.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. But it's like fast forward, like there were some times my mom was a little like, I don't know about you being public about this, but she was more concerned of like, well, if you meet a nice guy and you know,
was
she
got a
nice family, like, but they're probably not going to like that you're like public about talking about herpes. And I actually was dating someone at the time. So I was like, I mean, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's working. I was like, he's got a nice family and he doesn't give a shit. Like, all right. I'm like, he thinks the podcast is cool. I was like, which that's what I would want.
Yeah.
Someone that goes, oh, that's so cool that you'd say that.
I think my husband had a similar fear of like his family and sort of like what their reaction to it would be. But his sister and niece have been to like more shows of mine than I can count at this point.
So
like they truly are just like, they do not care. They're like so fun about it. Mm-hmm. We're just like, yeah, I think we constantly underestimate people and fear their reactions so much. And at least for me, I just don't give people enough credit a lot of the time. But usually people come through for you.
Yeah. Or like, I mean, it's like with any like breakup or anything, you're like, oh, was this the reason? Mm-hmm. So like the last person I like was seeing or whatever ended. And then my mom made a comment of like, I think like you having the podcast is the reason people don't want to date you. And not even about the herpes part. But it like, you know, it's something that it's like, I've had that thought before in my own head.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't.
No. It's that you're a comedian. That's why guys don't want
to
date
That's
us.
What I said to her. I was like, I don't think you realize like me doing stand up and me having this podcast are the same thing.
Yeah.
I was like, it's the same reaction from guys when they find out about either. They're like, oh, you're going to talk about me? And I'm like, if you're going to be a piece of shit, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, you're nice to me. No. Like, but I was kind of like, yeah, but it was there the whole time that person was dating me that I was like, what? Like, it would have been an issue at the beginning. It never would have went anywhere.
It's also just this thing of like, okay, so maybe that's not why they want to, or maybe they don't want to date you because of that. But like, okay, fine. So then they're not the right person for you.
Exactly.
That's it. And then you move on and you keep looking.
Right. And before I had herpes, I had those guys that were dating you, but still keeping you in the dark.
Yes.
And I'm like, everyone's had that, regardless of herpes or not, that I'm always like, well, I've been kept in the dark for God knows what reason.
You had such a funny line last night at Old Man Hustle about like, they're like when you're just being 25 dating of just like, yeah, of course, like you were doing crowd work.
Oh yeah, I asked if anyone's giving her advice and she's like, not really.
And you're like, yeah, you're 25, like you just go be a slut, like,
yeah,
that's all you have
do
to
whatever
do
you want. Yeah.
And you said something about like when you were 25 of like, why don't guys date me? It's like, because I'm 25.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not supposed to date
that's
you.
Literally, yeah, you're like, I'm very young.
And I was like, oh my God, that's such a great point. Mm-hmm. Of like, yeah, when I was like 22 and like horrified and telling guys like, you know, I have herpes or whatever, and then like piecing out, it's like, yeah, because I was 22. Like nobody actually wants to date 22 year olds,
yeah,
except for like 50-year-olds going through a midlife crisis.
Well, funny, the guy that was dating me at 25 that I got herpes from was turning 31. I remember him turning 31 while we were like seeing each other.
Okay, 31's not midlife.
I didn't feel like he's so much older. But now that I am 31 and I'll see other 31-year-old men go for dating younger women, I'm like, oh, you like dating younger because like they don't know the tricks yet.
Yes. That's
they'll put up with the bullshit.
It's in Nikki Glaser's last special of like, just say you want to, like, of like guys who are like, who want to date somebody young, and they're like, but she has an old soul, Nikki. She has an old soul. God. And she's like, just say you want to fuck a 22-year-old because she doesn't know your bullshit yet. Like, yeah. Just say you want to fuck a 22. It's okay.
She believes you when you say you're really busy at work right now.
Yes.
Like, she'll put up with the, you know, breaks between the dates or breaks between seeing her or even hitting her up last minute because she's out late.
Right.
It's not that late to her. She's already out having a good time drinking. And I'm like, I don't do that anymore. I never really did. But, like, I look back and I'm like, oh, so much shit I put up with. Well before herpes.
Ugh.
I look back and I'm like, I got herpes and actually started putting up with less.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. Like, it's like, yeah, it didn't deter me of, I don't know, standing up for myself and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Which... I mean, that's the thing that often happens. Like, literally today, I had a woman message me, and she thanked me for the podcast. We're talking about it. I think she came across a stand-up clip. But she said she was like, I got herpes young and in college. And she said, like, basically the first guy that was okay with it, I, like, dated and ended up marrying. And she's like, and now I'm going through a divorce.
Yeah.
And she's like, it kind of was just like, oh, thank God there's this person that's okay with this thing.
Which is like kind of what I think is the danger of those, like, herpes-only dating sites.
Exactly.
Is like, you... are just like, okay, well, this is my pool and it has to be one of these.
Mm-hmm. Or the first just person that's okay with it.
Yeah.
And because I've been there. That's why I went back to Herpes Dude that was an asshole.
That's why I stayed with Herpes Dude for exactly. as long as I did. You're I was like, nobody else will ever love me.
That's how it feels. Or you're just relieved to be done.
Yes.
But it's funny that now it's like when I look at dating, and I think it's just because I'm older, I'm like, no, like the next person that really is like my boyfriend is someone I'm going to sit there and go, oh, I could see myself being with this person forever. So it's a different like mindset and a different look for what you're dating that I'm like, oh, herpes actually doesn't even, like, it doesn't really bother me to have that conversation or worry because I'm like, yeah, like, I would like to date someone that also is looking like real future.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, if that's what you're really looking at, then those are usually the people that go, all right, so if I get it, whatever, because if you're it, then you're it.
Exactly.
Like, we'll be together anyway, you know, like, kind of mentality. But, God, that's just, like, crushing to me. And then I'm like, fuck, there's people out there that still... do that, and I get it. I've been that person. It's like I didn't make the move to marry somebody from it, but like, yeah, I've stuck around in things or continued to hook up with people I shouldn't have, and I just was like, dude, it's just nice to be a person. It's nice to just not have to have this conversation. And I think people even feel that way without herpes, where they just finally get a boyfriend.
It's all exhausting.
Yeah, like where they're like, oh, I'm finally done, and then the thought of breaking up, they're like, to re-download a dating app, I
have
kill
to
myself.
Tell more people how many siblings I have.
Yeah.
I just don't know where I went to college and what I studied. It's so exhausting.
Yeah, I think Jared Freed has a joke about that. Check out his special is coming out in a few months, but it literally, he was like, women will sit in relationships like, I would rather stay with this man than play fuck, marry, kill on a dating app ever again. Like, and it's so true of like, God, like, and I've been the person opening with that message. So, you know, no shade to the game. Fonzie, what number are we at? We at like 45? Where are we at? 42. I'm like, do you want to do TikToks? I'm enjoying just talking.
Yeah.
That I'm like, but do you want to do them? They're kind of fun.
What are we doing with?
They're basically random dating TikToks. I find that somewhat advice, and I love getting an appeal.
Just keep in mind, I have not gone on a date in nine years.
Okay. So here's an interesting one of we gotta have headphones for this. Do the put in their space one. It's about. It's just, I mean, it's a variety of stuff. It's not always advice, but.
The pretty girl, I'll walk up to her in the grocery store. And a lot of times I already kind of know because women will put themselves in your space.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's how they run game.
Guys. Right. Yeah. So they're not going to come talk to you, but if they put themselves in your space and stay, because most of the times if they see a man, they'll just fucking bolt.
Yeah.
They'll go around the store to go to the produce section again. Just get the fuck away from you if they don't want to be around you.
Yeah.
The way I look at it is genuine honesty. So I'll walk up to a woman. I'll say, hey, excuse me. I don't mean to be rude, but I would have been upset with myself for being a coward to not come speak to you.
Yeah.
I think you're beautiful. My name's Justin.
Absolutely the way to go
you can
about
stop it.
I do love his description of women as basically deer.
Well, you know what's funny? I saw this TikTok and I was like, oh, I've never heard it put like that. But I was like, fuck, that's true.
Is it?
It's true for me. If I'm like, I've been, not necessarily in the grocery store, but I've been in public places. And if I see a guy that's cute, I'll do the like, I go back near their space.
Interesting. I will make a lot of eye contact, like a lot of like, but then like coyishly, like looking away.
Yeah, it's also a move.
But I don't know that it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know that I was hanging around your space. I just like am looking for the right cucumber.
Yeah, maybe grocery store isn't the best sign. Or I love it. He was like, they'll absolutely run away if they don't want to be anywhere near you. It's like, all right, that's a bit extreme.
It's a little bit of like, it's the classic thing of like, not everybody's thinking about you. Like, you're not, like, you are cute. He is cute. But I do like his approach of like, just, and you're sort of like, you're giving somebody the option to be like, hey, Justin, nice to meet you. I'm not interested.
And right. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know, because I saw something else recently that was a scroll on TikTok, and it was like women. It's something about approaching women, and the woman said the worst time to do it actually is when no one's around, because our instincts are actually like, is this person trying to rob me? Is this person trying to attack me? Like, especially like in a city, if you're like on a street and like no one is fucking around. It's like, terrifying. Actually, that is more terrifying.
Yeah. I used to live in a neighborhood in Queens that was like not off of the train. So I would have to walk really far because I would come home from open mics late at night and the bus wasn't running anymore. And it was so much scarier to walk on these streets where there was nobody else out than like, I don't know, be in fucking like Hell's Kitchen or whatever at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
So yes, I think that's right. Make sure there are other people around. Right.
But I was like, I think the more thing is, because I've also noticed this with men of like, because I agree with you, like grocery store is a little bit of a gamble. Of like, I literally am grocery shopping.
Yeah.
So I might just be needing this thing. But it's the like comeback. Like if you ever see someone come back in your space and be near you. And I've done that of like then gone and been closer to where they're standing. And I'm like, I think this is obvious, but I never know if it's obvious. We're just like, I'm around. Here.
Yeah, I think the key thing is like returning back to where you are, as opposed to just like being near,
just being
you,
there.
Where it's like, nah, dude, she just like saw that there's like a 2-for-1 on avocados and got real excited.
Yeah, or it's like I either repel women and they run away, or they want to fuck me.
I know, it's so
mentality.
Just like, I don't know, my fight or flight responses are not happening while I'm grocery shopping necessarily.
Right. Which I meant to ask you, do you have any like shooting your shot stories that you remember of like how you made a move?
The only one I remember, because I usually approached it the way that like a defense lawyer approaches things, where it's like they won't ask questions that they don't know the answer to.
Okay.
So I didn't have like a ton of like risking at all, but I do, and this might be why I do have a memory of being in Hebrew school.
Oh, okay.
All when right. I was like in seventh grade, and there was this boy in our class who like all the girls had a crush on, and I remember we were passing notes back and forth, and I said, do you know that a different girl, like, we'll say her name's like Julia. So do you know that Julia likes you? And he was like, yes, I do know that. And then I said, do you know that another girl in our class likes you? And he was like, yes, I do know that. And then I wrote, do you know that I like you? And I remember his reaction was so like dramatic and over the top of like, oh, like it was very,
stop.
I mean, we were 12. It's not his fault, but it was, I think from that moment, I was just like, oh, I'm not putting myself out there unless I know that this is like reciprocated.
Yeah.
But I could usually, I don't know. I really did like have good game, when I was single and could kind of just like hang until whatever.
You would just hang out, chat.
I would just hang out. I mean, also, like, again, it was New Orleans. So, like, you're kind of always just, like, talking to strangers. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, like, very much that culture. And so I would just, like, chill at the – I was also – oh, and I still am, like, very comfortable just being alone in a public place.
Yeah. I'd say that to women all the time. Like, go out alone. You actually get approached more. Or at max, one friend. But usually alone.
Alone is great. And so – and also, like, I didn't – and I wouldn't be on my phone. Like, I didn't have a smartphone until I moved to New York. So I would just, like, chill and talk to whoever. And that was enough. So I didn't have to, like, I don't remember ever, like, really putting myself out there in this, like, blatant shoot your shot way.
Well, also, I mean, it sounds like you met people always just organically then. Not on dating apps either.
My favorite move was finding somebody who was, like, a tourist who was just, like, visiting for a few days. And I would be like, let me show you around the city.
Oh, what do I mean?
And also my house.
Perfect move.
And my pussy.
There's a ghosts in this house. To get them to come out, you got to make me come first. That'd be a hell of a line. That was fun. All right, let's see. Da-da-da. Let's do this offering help one. I think this is an interesting thing here, but also I did some more serious
ones. If you
ones.
Offer help more than once, you're trying to control. And so the awareness there is like when someone else is speaking, I'm like, do I feel this urge to offer help? And if they don't want my help, am I going to feel an urge to offer it again and again and again and again? The other thing that has helped me tremendously is I do something called I wait for the question mark. If someone does not ask me a question, I do not jump in with my great ideas and my thoughts and my innovations and my opinions and what I think is best for them. And those two things have really, really helped me with being able to hold space in a way where I'm saying, I see you, I hear you, I'm with you, but I am not you, and I don't know what's best for you. If you offer...
All right, you can pause. So this is something, when I watched it, I was like, this is something I had to kind of learn with men. And this is like, I guess, a more masculine trait of mine of, I have that typical man thing of like, you're telling me a problem, I'm trying to come up with like the solutions to the problem, mm-hmm. and not like, oh, this person just wants me to sit and listen to them.
Yeah.
So being in a long-term relationship, I was like, I was curious how this resonated with you of the like offering help.
Yeah. I think she's completely right. The only thing I sort of disagree with a little bit is the like waiting until you're asked a question. Mm-hmm. But because sometimes it is just like, I don't know, that's putting a lot of onus on the other person bring you in. It's like, I don't know, be a person, have a conversation. You mm-hmm. you don't always have to be asked a question in order to speak. But yeah, it's a lot of, I mean, I think that's like a classic thing of like, it's a person you love, and so you want to like help them and solve their problem. But a lot of times there's not really like a solution. You kind of just need to like be like, that sucks, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think also women tend to, and I've had been this in a relationship, but women tend to end up being like the assistant to their husbands. But it doesn't start happening when they get married. It starts happening when they're dating. Mm-hmm. And it's like very little things of like they have some type of problem and you're stepping in to fix it and help and not letting them just figure it out on their own. Do it on their own. And a lot of times it's like you start putting energy and effort into like whatever they're building, whatever they're doing, mm-hmm. and it's taking away from your own things. And that's something I've learned in like dating of I've done that with people and it never made them want to be with me romantically, but I thought it would. I thought it would give me like a leg up to what other women, I don't know, of like, oh, but Erica's like so great and helps me so much or is so supportive. And it's like, yeah, I very much have learned, especially like before I'm actually with someone, it's like they don't need my help. I should not be bending over backwards to
right.
like, go and help them. And I think it actually makes them like, I don't want to say feel like less of a man, but I feel like it does make them less attracted to me.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, I don't think my husband and I have ever had that inclination.
Right.
Which is good. I don't think either of us, just looking back on it, like, I don't think there's ever been a like, let me fix this for you.
Yeah, but I also feel like both of you are not, because I know your husband, and are not people pleasers. I feel like it's often a people pleaser trait. No,
we sure aren't.
Like it's this thing of like always, you know, being that like helping, like jumping it, you know, going over the top.
But I do like, of course we like helping each other because we love one another.
Right.
But I think it's finding those like, if you find little everyday ways to help one another or like ask one another for help, it does take it like it sates that like you get to feel that helpfulness mm-hmm. thing, and then it doesn't
needed.
You don't feel tempted in other ways. So it's more just like, hey, you're already standing up, will you get me a glass of water?
Well,
and then
yeah,
like thank you.
But like I'm sorry, go.
No, that's okay, go.
I remember it was actually the herpes guy. I was dating him, he was bartending at the time, and he lost his bartending job and was like texting me about it, and I was at my desk job at work and didn't have much to do, so I was like, oh, and I sent an email to that like giant comedy email chain. So I was like, oh, I know there's bartenders down here. I was just like, hey, I go, my friend. It's like, not my friend. My friend lost a job. I was like, if anybody works in a restaurant that's currently hiring like bartending, let me know.
Yeah.
Has a lot of experience. And I'd like put together a whole list for him. And I remember emailing it to him, having links, having like all this stuff. Like I did so much deep dive information for him. And it's like, why? Why did I do that? And I think that's what I'm trying to reference, is like shit like that that we will, a lot of women will do. And it's like, first of all, he did not ask me. Second, it's like, that did not make him feel better about losing his job. And third, it's like, this is not your boyfriend. What is this man doing to help you by any means? Nothing. This man did not. This man gave you herpes and never really had a conversation with you about it.
He gave you herpes and you're going to give him a job?
Literally. That's literally like, I look back, I'm like, why? Why did I ever even speak to that man again? Not because of the herpes, but because of how I was treated afterwards. But like, I look back and I'm like, why the fuck did you do that? And I don't know what it was in me, but it was me wanting to be liked and like wanted by him. And I thought doing that was going to help. And it's like, no, it absolutely did not help.
You want to feel useful. We do a lot of like, what do you need right now?
Okay, that's
a
good
one. We ask that question a lot. That was a big thing when the beer can incident happened. I was like fully overwhelmed and it was a lot. And he was just like, what do you need right now? And I was like, okay, I need you to answer my parents. Like, I need you to like text my parents. Like,
okay.
I need you to like just take my phone and like respond to the group chats that are happening right now.
Okay.
It would be like that kind of thing. But if he just started like going like, can I answer the group chats for you? I would be like, fuck you. I don't need your help.
Very much so.
So the what do you need right now? I think. And sometimes it's like, I don't need anything. I just need to like sit. Like, I just need to sit.
Yeah.
And like, I just need you to like, or like, I just need you to like put on Top Chef.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's an important question that couples should ask each other is what do you need right now?
That's a good one. Because especially, let me tell you something, even if guys that were dating me and like, God, I helped another guy with like a job situation. And it's like, because you have a natural connection and you just want to help, right? But like the minute you break up, you're like, why the fuck did I ever help that piece of shit? Like, I should have let him struggle. Why did I? Like, you know, he never ended up doing anything with it. But it's like, that's the feeling of like, now I'm like, I have resentment. And it's like, but why did you, he didn't ask you. Just fucking, exactly. Yeah, when you ask. But that's another thing of, I'm terrible at asking. So I need someone to be like, do you need anything from me? How can I help you? Blah, blah, blah. Because sometimes it is like, just get the fuck out of my way.
Yeah.
That's actually how you can help. Is leave me alone. You're like, okay, all right.
Yep, cool. Done.
We're at time, right, Fonz? 55. Do you want to do one more ticker?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Okay. Do you have one?
These are fun.
I know. I'm like.
Especially I.
Wait, scroll all the way down. What's that one say?
I don't scroll any social media. I only post. So it's kind of fun to like Fonz. See what's on here.
All right. Do you want like more of a deeper one or?
No, let's do like a.
Go all the way up, Fonz. What was it? Okay, let's take this guy here. This is about basically like number of people you've had sex with and the standard a bit. So
if you're dating a girl and you go to a bar and there's five other guys in the bar, they're like, yeah, I smashed her too. Yeah, me too, bro. That wouldn't do anything.
I mean, if she's with you now, like, why do you care? There's like this weird type of like adversarial views on sex that I really fucking hate, where it's like a guy's goal is to get sex from a woman. And when you do that, you've kind of like dominated her and you've won. Not only have I fucked her, in a way, I've kind of fucked her over because I'm adding to my notches on my belt that's making me look good. And I'm fucking her over that makes her look like a whore. Makes her look bad. And that type of like really adversarial view of like men trying to fuck women over through sex. I hate that.
If you're dating a girl.
Okay, stop. Well, obviously there's two schools of thought here. So basically this guy's being like, oh, if a girl slept with more people, isn't that, you know, not valuable. And I felt this is the first time, one of the first times I've seen a man actually have a very good response to this.
Yeah.
But I don't know. How do you feel about numbers in this clip?
So I made a point. I forget. Maybe I was in college still where I decided very consciously to stop keeping track of a number, not because like I'm just fucking somebody different every, but I did have this moment, and this is like, you know, 2 weeks after like my first women's studies class, where I was just like, wait, like why am I keeping track of this number? Like, what does this number mean? And then the more I thought, I was like, well, I'm either keeping track of this number to feel pride or to feel shame, but like, why would this number mean pride or shame? Like, what about it elicits either feeling? Like, why is there a feeling attached to a number? So I really appreciate this response from this guy. It's really the initial dude who's just like, if you go to a bar, there's five guys. I would just be like, oh, that's cool that you have like a regular bar you go to.
Or it's just, I mean, it's just an unrealistic scenario. It's
yes, like, of course.
And I like how the also that like thought of, it's like, we've all been in a situation, maybe not all of us, but I've been in the situation before of like, you show up to a place with somebody and there is one person there that you've either dated before or slept with. And it's like all three of you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I love how it's like worried about the man's discomfort. It's like, you didn't fuck anyone here. I did. I'm uncomfortable and I got to navigate this situation and just be a little concerned with my uncomfortability. Not like, well, you fucked him too. How dare we ever see this man?
The only way you'll walk into a room and five men have fucked that woman is if you're at an open mic.
it's really though.
In New York City specifically.
Yeah. Or exes and comedy. I mean,
yeah,
it's, people on the Patreon know. That's happened to me.
Have you read Jessica Simpson's book?
I didn't read it. I listened to the audiobook of it because I was too tempted. It was very entertaining.
It's so good. I highly recommend to anybody. But there is this, you know, it's interesting, like the way that we sort of like hold up these like virginal standards for women, but also you want to make her like a little sex pot.
Yep.
Of like, you know, like, she's never fucked anybody, but she's gonna fuck you. Where it's like, what is this obsession with, like, with that? It's so bizarre. Mm-hmm. And I just think like this guy like hit it on the head.
Hilarious. Of I won't say who, but an older man actually pointed this out to me. Of he was like, you know, everybody acts like Taylor Swift is this, you know, good girl. She's the girl next door. She's the sweet little country, whatever. He goes, she's had like a million guys. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and all her songs are about like basically getting fucked over by this dude. Like, he was like, she's going from guy to guy to guy. He goes, and then everyone's calling Miley Cyrus a slut. And at the time, she was still with Liam Hemsworth. He's like, she's dated the same guy for years. She's literally been like one dude this whole time. And she wears a racy outfit. And we're like, oh, this whore. But it's like, oh, Taylor Swift. Da, da, da. And it's like, Taylor Swift has fucked a ton of celebrities.
Yeah,
like,
there's a 30 Rock joke, too, about in like a later season when Tracy calls Liz like a whore, basically. And she's like, what are you talking about? He's like, and then he starts listing off all the guys she's dated in the series. And he's like, I've been with the same woman for 20 years.
Hilarious.
Where it's like, yeah, we put so much emphasis on like what the external, I mean, it's the same thing with herpes. If like you put so much emphasis on like, but you don't look like a whore. Like, you don't look like you would do that. You don't look like you would have herpes. So like, how could you? And you're like, I don't know, man. I'm a human being.
Right. Or it's like,
sex is fun.
Or it's funny that people that have been in long-term relationships, especially women, often have this thing with like pride of their number being low. And I'm like, you've been off the market for a certain number of years. Like, if we calculated how many people you've slept with versus how many people I've slept with and the months we were single, your number and percentage is way higher than mine.
Sure.
I'm like, you got out of a 3-year thing and you fucked however many people in the 3 months you were single. And it's like, so for you to turn around and call me a whore because my number's higher than 6, and it's like, yeah, but you fucked all 6 of those like in the 3 months, like, or whatever. Which at the end of the day, I'm like, no judgment towards any of that. But that's when I always hate it, is people that are serial monogamous being like, oh, I don't know how you could just like sleep with that many people. I'm like, you don't know what it's like to be single for a full year.
I feel like the number conversation is distinctly related to like the age at which a woman gets married, because it used to just be like, if she's 24 and not married, she's an old maid. Like, she's a real spinster and no man will ever have her. And we've basically like replaced that language with like her number.
Mm.
And it's gross. And everybody should stop keeping track of their number.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like anybody does. I remember sitting down, like trying to figure it out. And I was like, same thing. I was like, I stopped counting.
Yeah. I actually just had a recovered memory of the exact moment I decided to stop keeping track of my number. I went to the OBGYN when I was in college. And then like the person who takes all of your information before the doctor actually comes to see you. This was in Kentucky. She asked me, how many sexual partners have you had in the last year? And I told her, I think the number was, it wasn't even like crazy. I think it was like 5. And she was like, oh, like her whole demeanor changed.
Oh, fuck that.
She was so like repulsed. And this is before I had herpes. I was like in the fucking Bible Belt, but she was just like so appalled. And I was like, you know what? I'm never keeping track of this number again.
Interesting.
And honestly, when I go to the OBGYN now, they don't ask me how many partners have you had in the last year.
Well, I don't know if it's because if they know you're married or whatnot, but I get that question.
Okay, this is New York City.
I know, but I get that question, but it's more they're like, have you had unprotected sex with any of them?
Yes,
that's
sure.
More what the question is. So basically like, how likely are you to maybe have an STD?
But my answer for that was always 0, because the only person I ever had, I've only had unprotected sex with 2 people.
Mm.
One was my ex-boyfriend. from whom I received herpes, yep. and the other is my husband.
Yeah, my number is very low on that. Which, that's the thing of getting herpes and finding out how many people are having unprotected sex all the time.
Oh my God, it's
with
insane.
Random people. I was like, what? What are you, it's, what?
I remember one time this guy, sorry, I know we're over time.
Oh, no,
but,
sorry.
Sorry,
Fonzie.
Hooking up with this guy, we were like getting ready to have sex, and he was like begging me to like not have to use a condom, and he was like, and this is, oh, this is the other person I did not tell I had herpes, he was like, I don't have anything, like I swear I'm clean, and I was like, I do have something.
Yeah,
like, you idiot. You fucking idiot.
Yeah, you're like, this with this attitude, you're definitely gonna get something.
God.
But that would drive me nuts.
Also, with this attitude, like, I don't believe you that you don't have anything.
Yeah, yeah. You're not afraid? Why not?
You should be afraid.
You should be afraid. You should be a little afraid. I'm a statistic right in front of you. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on. This
Thanks
has been awesome.
Me.
I know I've been meaning to have you on forever. If you didn't check out Ariel yet, you definitely should. Go check out that wild clip of the beer getting thrown at her. You can find her at Ariel underscore comedy. So Ariel. _ comedy, and check out her website, which is arielaiascomedy.com, and Elias is Elias comedy.com. You got a bunch of road dates coming up.
Yeah, baby.
So go check her out, guys. Touring all over. Thank you again,
Sarah,
for coming on. And follow us, Shooters Gotta Shoot Pod. DM us your TikToks. Talk about it on the show. We appreciate it. And any other suggestions? Appreciate it. All right.